Hare Krishna, welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are fortunate to have His Grace Brajamohan Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 17th chapter, verse 13 onwards. Before, I would like to hand over call to Shyam Suresham Prabhuji for brief introduction of Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Suresham Prabhuji, Tanvat Pranam always to Srila Prabhupada and Gurudev. I would like to hand over call to Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. His Grace Brajmohan Prabhuji is a monk, a life coach and inspirational speaker. Prabhuji is a disciple of His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj. And Prabhuji is a resident monk at ISKCON Chowpatty in India. He is a student mentor at the Indian Institute of Technology, Bombay, where he has earned a B.Tech degree. Prabhuji has a master's degree in quantum physics from University of Illinois, Chicago. Brajmohan Prabhuji has given seminars on science, spirituality, leadership, relationship, and self-development. He has been speaking on various topics at prestigious universities and at several corporations in US and in India for over a decade. Using ancient wisdom for current dilemmas, his message inspires the audience to think deep and act right and live full. Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanavad Pranam Mataji.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for introduction. Prabhuji is not joining on the call, Mataji, so we can do mantra. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam always to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for joining call and giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. I would like to hand over call to you, Prabhuji. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Just 1 minute. I'm just setting it up. Camera.
Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi jana vallabha girivara dhari
jaya gopi jana vallabha girivara dhari
yashoda nandana braja janarandana
Yashodanandana Vraja Janaranjana
Yamuna Tira Vanachari
Yamuna Tira Vanachari
Yamuna Tira Vanachari
Yamuna Tira Vanachari
Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
Jayo Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari.
Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari.
Om Shripad Paramasri Rajakacharya Shtotra Shifun Papai Chanarvinda Bhakti Vedanta Goswami Shabhupad Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai Kantrashivan Bhagatam Ki Jai Samaveda Gaura Bhakta Vinda Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna, we are today discussing from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 17, The Descent of River Ganges, text number 13. Since this is in the prose format, we'll take the Vishnu Chakra Kirtakur's translation section by section. So it will be easier for us to recite and also chant and read. Yatraha Deva Patayaha. There the chief of the devatas, Akrishta Manodrishtaya, their glances and minds attracted. By the Kama Kalila Vilasa Hasa Leela Avaloka, by the playful glances and smiles, Sulalita Sura Sundari Naam, of beautiful women. Swairam Viharanti, because of their desire, amuse themselves. Swai Swair Gananaya Kair Vihita Maharhana, freely with ingredients supplied by their followers. Jalakrida Dhivir Vichitra Vinodai, in pastimes such as water sports. Amala Jalashayeshu, in clear lakes. Upakojiteshu, resounding with the sounds. Madhukara Nikara Akriti Bhir, of various groups of bees. Rajahamsa Jalakukkuta Karandava Sarasa Chakravadi Bhir. Swans, water hens, cranes, and karandavas. Vikacha vivida navavana, ruha amoda mudita, excited by the fragrance of a variety of blooming lotuses. Varsha giri droneshu, growing in the valleys between the mountains. Ruchira kanana ashrama ayatana, which have hermitages and pleasant gardens. Lata vitapi bhir upashumba mana, splendid with trees and creepers. Anyam anam yamana vitapa, whose branches are bent down. Sarva ritu kusumastabaka phala kishalaya shriya, by the abundance of the fruits and flowers of all seasons. So I'll just read the full translation now. There the chiefs of devatas, their glances and minds attracted by the playful glances and smiles of beautiful women, because of their desire, amuse themselves freely with ingredients supplied by their followers. In pastimes such as water sports, in clear lakes, resounding with the sounds of various groups of bees, swans, water hens, cranes, and carandavas. Excited by the fragrance of a variety of blooming lotuses growing in the valleys between the mountains, which have hermitages and pleasant gardens, splendid with trees and creepers whose branches are bent down by the abundance of fruits and flowers of all seasons. We'll now read Prabhupada's translation to this verse. In each of those tracts of land, there are many gardens filled with flowers and fruits according to the season. And there are beautifully decorated hermitages as well. Between the great mountains demarcating the borders of those lands lie enormous lakes of clear water filled with newly grown lotus flowers. Aquatic birds such as swans, ducks, water chickens, and cranes become greatly excited by the fragrance of lotus flowers. And the charming sound of bumblebees fills the air. The inhabitants of those lands are important leaders among the demigods. Always attended by their respective servants, they enjoy life in gardens alongside the lakes. In this pleasing situation, the wives of the demigods smile playfully at their husbands and look upon them with lusty desires. All the demigods and their wives are constantly supplied with sandalwood pulp and flower garlands by their servants. In this way, all the residents of the eight heavenly worshippers enjoy attracted by the activities of the opposite sex. Purport also by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Here is a description of the lower heavenly planets. The inhabitants of those planets enjoy life in a pleasing atmosphere of clear lakes filled with newly grown lotus flowers and gardens filled with fruits and flowers, various kinds of birds and hummingbees. In that atmosphere, they enjoy life with their very beautiful wives who are sexually stimulated. Nonetheless, they are all devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as will be explained in the subsequent verses. The inhabitants of this earth also desire such heavenly enjoyment, but when they somehow or other achieve imitation pleasures like sex and intoxication, they completely forget the service of the Supreme Lord. In the heavenly planets, however, although the residents enjoy superior sense gratification, they never forget their positions as eternal servants of the Supreme Being. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadavayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpati Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Vasudhi Pura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna devotees, welcome to the morning Srimad Bhagavatam class Of course, here in India, it is evening. At the Bhakti Sangha Japa Group conference group devotees, it's my great pleasure and privilege to be amidst all of you, very sincerely taking to the process of Bhagavad Vidhi, of hearing and chanting. And now we are at the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where the descent of Mother Ganga to this earthly, to the earthly planet, and her further journey is being described. And as part of that, where all she flows, and the different explanation of the geography of this world is being given. There are two channels that are very famous for showing the beauty and greatness of the planet, the National Geographic and the Discovery Planet. I think there are few more channels also. People, devotees can put on chat if they know other channels that try to explore nature, that try to explore the different aspects of creation. I used to watch these two, and it's quite fascinating how the creation is so beautiful. And just 2 days back, I read an article saying that in the Antarctica, under this cold, freezing temperatures there, they discovered millions of fishes that are surviving there. And Antarctica is the only place on the entire earth that is not owned by any country, that is not a country, that is a continent but not a country, and no one owns it. And there's many different expeditions happen there to try to study marine life. Trying to study marine life, and then they found out that there are these ice fish that can survive in the under this cold freezing temperatures, and there is hardly much oxygen there, especially in this cold temperatures. People die out of lack of oxygen. They get suffocated, hypothermia, and asphyxiation, lack of air. But in under this, there are these fishes that Krishna has created that have this amazing technology or design, wherein they don't have their veins, their blood doesn't carry any hemoglobin. Almost the blood is transparent. And we all know hemoglobin becomes such an important aspect because that is the one, the red corpuscles that carry oxygen from one part to another part. And I think today morning or yesterday, the news came that His Holiness Jayapadak Maharaj is having a health crisis, and his hemoglobin levels are very low, and they are transporting him currently from Kolkata to Chennai. And a message had gone out that please pray that Maharaj reaches Chennai safely, the place where he was, his liver was transplanted before. And let us all offer a 1 minute prayer for the well-being and fast recovery of His Holiness Jayapadak Maharaj, who is such an amazing servant and preacher in our Krishna consciousness movement. Let's pray to Lord Narasimhadev by chanting Ugram Viram. Ugram Viram Mahavishnu.
Ugram Viram Mahavishnu.
Jalantam Sarvato Mukham.
Jalantam Sarvato Mukham.
Narasingham Bhishanam Bhadram
Narasingham Bhishanam Bhadram
Mrityor Mrityor Namamiham
Mrityor Mrityor Namamiham
Shri Narasimha Jai Narasimha
Shri Narasimha Jai Narasimha
Jai 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 Narasimha
Jai Jai Shri Narasimha
Praladesha Jaya Padma
Prahladesha Jaya Padma
Muka Padma Bringa
Muka Padma Bringa
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Ram Ram
Hare Hare
So hemoglobin is such an important aspect for oxygen to be carried from one part of the body to another body. But these fishes in Antarctica, they don't have hemoglobin in their blood. And there is, Krishna has designed them in another way where they don't need to. Sorry, with my camera, there is some issue with it today. These fishes are surviving. They're not just surviving but thriving. Around 60 million of them are there under the Antarctica. So if human beings, after staying on this particular planet, if they are coming up with more and more discoveries of such a huge population of fishes or any kind of life or a facility, then what to speak of the entire creation, that how much is Krishna's creation amazing. And in this particular verse, we kind of see that how Krishna has created such amazing facilities for the living entities' enjoyment, and especially for the devatas, the heavenly beings. Krishna is not somebody who envies that we want to enjoy separately from him. But he knows that, but in trying to enjoy separately from him, in spite of all the facilities that we carry, we won't be happy. Because the soul ultimately is looking for the spiritual connection with Krishna, with its source. And without that, nothing in this world will actually give the soul happiness. But here, for the Devapatis, for all the chief of the Devatas, just like, you know, there is in the, amongst the, here in Bombay, we have Navy colonies. There is usually in the mess also in any company, there is a regular mess, and then there is officer's mess, or there is a officer's colony. So with much better facilities, bigger rooms, and same way in the earth, universal creation, there are different classifications, different categories of life, and standard of living is allotted. Even in a particular city, we see that there is one street that is super opulent, or one area that is highly rich, highly posh, and then there will be areas that are not so posh. There will be middle class groups, there will be high income groups. And in this way, and the world in those lives are completely different than the world, than the lifestyle or the kind of things that we see in other places. I go in Bombay, I go to, you know, different types of programs. And here is that, and when I go to one particular class of devotees, people, there their lifestyle is, lifestyle and the contacts and the, and what, how they perceive life is completely different from the way others see. Of course, when everybody gets on the road, on the traffic, everybody experiences the same. But apart from the traffic, even in the traffic, somebody is just in their, you know, air-conditioned cars, just in their mobiles or talking to someone. So they never, and there's the many that I know in Bombay, not many, but quite a few that have never traveled in a local train. They always lived in this particular, in this part of the city. And there are some who their every day is on the local, almost half the day is spent on the local trains. And even the same city, on the life can be so, so different. And the facilities, the connections, the kind of ambience and talks, people that are there can be so different. And the same way, in the universe, there are not just in on the Earth planet, but overall there are different facilities and features of creation that are there in different parts of the universe. And herein, in the eight varshas, the eight sections of the earthly planet, where Mother Ganga flowed, and after that, where the chiefs of the devatas, this is not their main place, this is their resort, this is their second home. Like all the devatas, they have their primary home in the Swargaloka, and they also have a working unit or a vacation place on this planet. Like Prabhupada always would say that Kashmir is like, or Switzerland is like heaven on earth. So there is an heaven, but there is also a heaven on earth with all these facilities. And we can see how charming, serene is Krishna's creation. And Prabhupada always says this, that if you see that the nature is so beautiful, then you should understand that this nature is just Krishna's smile. That in that verse, Nityam Nirikshamanana Yadapi Dwarakaukasam Na Vithipyat Ivadrusha Shriyodamanga Machutu. So in the verse, in the first canto, the Dwarakavasis, they are looking at the Lord Krishna, and they are not satisfied, because more and more they are looking at Krishna, the more and more his beauty is increasing, his opulence is increasing. And therein Prabhupada writes that Krishna's smile, that the nature that we get attracted to is Krishna's smile. So when we look at something beautiful, say there in the United States, it may be Niagara Falls, it may be all, what is that in Colorado, Springs, or whatever, or the Mississippi River, or human creations like the Disneyland, or whatever. They are all, a reflection of Krishna's beauty, Krishna's smile. And then Prabhupada also writes in that when the birds are chirping, birds chirping is Krishna's whispering. So we don't hear birds chirping, but we through that we hear Krishna's whispering. That if Krishna whispered, it will be something like in the morning when the sparrows or the little birds, they chirp. So the chirping is Krishna's whispering. So in this way, a devotee sees that Krishna has shared his beauty, his opulences in the nature. Just like our home is a reflection of our personality. That when we go to someone's home, we can to a large extent make out their nature just by looking at the home, because the home is a reflection of one's consciousness. So if we see that some people's homes are very well kept, everything is in proper order, everything is very clean. And then if we go to some houses, it looks like as if there was an atom bomb explosion there. And everything is so shabby and so unclean. And I often had this observation in the West when I was there, that the roads seem to be very clean, but most of the houses when I used to visit in Chicago, not devotees' houses, but some colleagues' house or friends' house or looking for rent, we were searching out in downtown of Chicago, different houses. There are some apartments in which we could not even enter because of the high dose of alcohol smell that was there. Alcohol, I don't know what kind of smell. It's so stinking that you just can't enter. And most houses, when you visit, there are, the once I was staying in near Columbia University in New York with one of devotees. And he was staying as a paying guest in someone's, they had given him one room. And the rest of it was this old lady was staying there. And she had three or four cats. And the whole place was so horrific, to say the least. And later I heard that this lady, she died and nobody even knew. And the cats, I don't know what they did with that old lady's old body. So when we visit someone's home, we can make out the kind of consciousness that they carry, what all are in their home, what is given priority, what is given importance, or what is the mindset in which they are living. So usually in India, the public property is all very dirty. The roads are dirty. The streets are usually dirty compared to West. But if you go into someone's home, the homes are all most of the times very clean, very, very well kept, very, very well decorated. Maybe small, but I usually see this in Bombay that there may be a gutter or there may be a lot of dirt on the roads. But when you go in, the house is completely different, as if it's another world. And so taking care of both public property, public surroundings, and also private is both Vedic. But somehow, the West has taken the public cleanliness seriously, and in India, the home, the private, if it's a private property, then people take care of it. If it's a public property, if it's everyone is using it, then they tend to abuse it. And Krishna, he has created this universe with so many levels and different types of enjoyment and pleasure. And when we read this such kind of description, we may tend to get attracted that, I want to go there, I want that. The facility is so good. And Prabhupada writes in that, for us to enjoy something, for us to have good time in some place, then two things are needed. One is the ambience, environment, and another is the enjoyment or the eatables. So if the, say like we visit Govindas, this is the picture of our Chopati Govindas. So the environment or the ambience is a very important aspect. Same say Pav Bhaji or pizza may also be available on the roadside. But it's filled with lot of noise, and you have to stand, and there is sun hitting you, or it's very chilly, cold, like right now in the West. But when there is a nice ambience, a nice devotional music or nice soft soothing music is being played, and there is nice silence, and you are with a friend or a devotee or your wife. So the whole ambience is sets the mood for the enjoyment, for the eatable. And then the eatable, there are those that are served in the restaurant, in the also should be tasty. Now there may be some restaurants or places where the ambience is very good, but the cooks don't cook properly. That the cooks are or the standards have gone down. So then also, now you don't really experience much pleasure. So that's why sometimes, you know, some of these big 5-star hotels may not get as much public as somebody who is at the roadside, but he is giving very tasty food. So more important than ambience is the eatables should be tasty. They should be pleasurable, palatable, and people. So with proper ambience, if there is proper, with proper facility, when if there are features, if there are nice eatables to enjoy, then you can enjoy more. But more important than ambience, than eatable, is appetite. And if you don't have an appetite, then no matter how much ambience is there, how much is the eatable in front of you, you can't really enjoy pleasure. You can't really experience happiness. That's why, when the first slice of pizza or the first paratha comes, you may be relishing it. But after that, now because appetite is gone, the ambience is there, the menu is there in front of you, the whole dish is there, but you can't really enjoy because you don't have an appetite to experience that, to digest that. The tongue becomes very soon satiated. So then also you can't enjoy. So therefore, in the heavenly planets, there are 5 advantages that are given, that if you go to the heavenly planets, or if you increase the standard of your living, when you achieve heights, say successful, Krishna speaks in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita also, Bhogeshwarya Prasaktanam Taya Prita Chetasam. So he says that when somebody elevates himself in the through just their karma, through their work, then they experience different types of pleasure. There are 5 advantages in going to heavens, because here in this world, there is not much of the ambience that can be there, or the varieties that can be there, or the appetite that can be there. So the first advantage that heavens offer to jivas, to these better places of life, is the longevity of life and pleasures. And the life is long there, so you can enjoy more. And also the pleasure also lasts more. Say the taste of the rasgulla or the is, once you eat, it is gone. Or the taste of any kind of taste, only as long as it is on the tongue, it is pleasurable. But once it goes down, then there is no aspect. And I was somebody, one devotee was telling me that one of his friends had tongue cancer, and because they had tongue cancer, their tongue had to be cut off. And because now that their tongue is cut off, he cannot eat, he cannot chew and eat. So what the way that this person eats is just through a straw. He just gulps all the food. And imagine if you don't have the tongue, and all the food is just directly put into the esophagus or this the food pipe. Will we actually experience pleasure? We can't. that it is that small 2-inch tongue that gives us the pleasure. And so when I heard this, I was so grateful to Krishna for this tongue, because only through this tongue that we are able to taste Krishna's prasad, Krishna's water, Krishna's say milk or rabdi or samosa. So the longevity of life and pleasures are there in the heavenly planets, and also the sensual vitality, the capacity of the senses to enjoy is also more. Now we get, you know, satiated, the tongue or the eyes can't see much. Like if you try to watch too much movies, then your eyes get pained or your ears are troubled. So many, if you want to dance in a party, after 5 minutes, 2 minutes of dancing, you kind of are tired. So our senses really, or in Guru Puja, when you try to dance, after 5-10 minutes of intense dancing, you can't dance anymore. So the sensual vitality is also more. The senses have much greater capacity. And there are very minimal diseases. Here in this world, yes, we can eat a lot of sweet items, but then there is diabetes that troubles us. Something or other. There will be piles, there will be constipation, whatever not. I was told that in the Greece, these kings were such a gluttons that they wanted to eat so much, so many different varieties of food. Unfortunately, Krishna has not allowed expanding stomach storage, like we have expandable hard disk, external hard disk. There is no external stomach that can be created. The food goes through the tongue, but it goes to some other external place. It has to go to the same place. So these kings in the Greece, after they ate, they used to vomit all that out, so that within 1 hour they can be ready for another type of meal, because the pleasure is only in the tongue. Of course, that also will cause diseases if somebody tries to vomit artificially or too much. That will also not drain, and he will also have issues. So, but in the heavenly planets, there are very minimal diseases that are there that can happen. And the quality of the facilities are also very, very good. Here in this world, sometimes the air condition doesn't work. Sometimes it gets too cold. So the facilities of enjoyment, they are also of high quality, high capacity, the facilities. And apart from all this, they have superpowers, not just sensually, but they could fly, they can think much better. All the superpowers, like Indra has a superpower to create rains, Vayu has the superpower to control the wind. So all the, and we see this, all this Marvel or DC Comics movies, they all come with all these superpower heroes, the Eternals, the Avengers, how they have all these superpowers to control fire element, earth element, water element, aqua, what is it, Aquaman. All these are no reflections of the soul wanting to see superpowers, and people having the superpowers because we are not aware. We are just manipulating or trying to concoct all these kinds of stories. And so because of this five advantages, especially in the Vedic time, they wanted to go to the heavens. Now people, because they don't know that there is heaven with all these facilities, like I was told that now here in this world, if there is sex, then there is the chance for pregnancies, law is there. And people try to use contraceptions or all kinds of artificial means, or kill the baby, abortion. But there in the heavenly planets, the child is the appearance of child, the pregnancy is not just because of sex, but also because that they can control that. There is no compulsory pregnancy that happens like in this world. And through their through their will, they can choose to have a kid or not have. So in this way, the heavenly planets offer much more facility to enjoy for enjoyment than in this world. But as the verse today says, why those kinds of facilities are given? Because in the heavenly planets, as this here in this verse, we see that all these devatas, all these devatas, they naturally are devotees. And because they are naturally are devotees, there is ruchira kanana ashrama ayatana. So it says that there in the heavenly planets also there are hermitages, there are rishis, there are ashramas where the sages live or the spiritual practices happen. So heavens are not those places where there is so much enjoyment that people forget Krishna consciousness. And that's what Prabhupada mentions in the purport. That, here in this purport he says that in the heavenly planets, although there are residents enjoy superior sense gratification, they never forget their positions as eternal servants of the Supreme Being. Very rarely there is chance for them to forget, because when there is power, then there is a tendency to get intoxicated. We know the story of Nalakuvara, Manigriva, that were intoxicated by the facilities. We know sometimes the story of Indra. But most of the times, these devatas, they don't forget their position. So they are called as Karma Mishra or Bhoga Mishra Bhaktas, where they want material enjoyment also and they want Krishna consciousness also. And which is possible. It's not that both have to go ill together. But if one focuses more on sense gratification, then there is always a tendency to slide into selfish enjoyment. But these devotees, they are not just having sense enjoyment and Krishna consciousness, but they are taking responsibility for the management of the universe. So yes, if you want sense gratification, if you want some kind of facility, but then also take responsibility of that post that has been given. And so they don't forget their responsibility as eternal servants of the Supreme Being and to assist in his mission. And because they are focused on that, they are also given facilities. Like an IAS officer here in India is given a bungalow, a car, a lot of housemates, and a lot of facilities. Now, the IAS officer is not given all that for his enjoyment. They're all that facilities given so that he can focus more on the responsibility, important responsibility of the state administration. Same way, these devatas are given all kinds of this power so that their body is not troubled by diseases, so that they can focus more on their service. So the devotees, they often aspire for facilities or powers in this world. Say when we are doing book distribution, you kind of wish I had this power to convince people. Or when you are a speaker, wish I had the power to convince the audience or impact the audience to take to Krishna consciousness. Or if you are a deity dresser or a kirtan singer or a cook, all these are different powers that we may aspire for or we may try for. But these powers are only to serve the Lord better. They are not independently aspired for. But when our desire for facility becomes more stronger than the, as Chaitanya Charitamrita says, heavenly world, the devatas or anyone can get distracted when the desire for the facility to serve Krishna is more stronger than the desire to serve Krishna. Like you want a nice home. And why do you want a nice home? Oh, I want to have deities, I want to serve devotees. If they come, I can host them. So the desire to home is there, so that the desire to serve Krishna, so that you can serve Krishna. But is the desire for the home stronger or the desire to serve stronger? Because if the desire to serve stronger is there, then you will do that whether the facility is there or not. So sometimes, no, we desire more time. If I had the time, I could have read Prabhupada's book, I could have served. But the desire to have time, is it more stronger or is the desire to serve more stronger? And if service is more stronger, then you will do that anyway with the whatever time you have got. So many times with devotees, what happens is our desire for facilities, for powers, for positions of service is more stronger or more overwhelming than the desire to serve. Mm-hmm. And that's where we start to get deviated. We start to become a sense gratifier rather than a devotee that is living a comfortable life so that he can serve Krishna peacefully. And therefore, in the Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, there are 5 disadvantages of going to high positions or heavens is also given. So it is said that Shrutam cha drishtava dushtam. So here it is being said that this Shrutam, this material happiness which you are hearing, drishtava dushtam, it is seen that it is contaminated. That the whatever heavenly enjoyment that you are hearing of, it is contaminated with 5 things. One is that it is contaminated with competition. That yes, there are nice enjoyments there, a lot of enjoyment there. But we see competition is more with successful people than with those people who don't have much. People who say who are just laborers or who are working, they don't have much competitive mentality then. And if you talk to a CEO of a company or somebody who is in a high position in some department, he is having more competitive spirit than somebody who is not just new. So therefore, even the heavenly planets, there is the competitive sparda, that why is he having more facility than me? Why is Indra the king and I am just a subordinate? That, you know, he is having superpowers, but he is looking at other superpowers, like in a hotel. The example that I gave, that yes, you order something, but someone else orders something else, and you become, you think that, oh, that facility, that item may be more relishable than mine. So this parda, this competitive spirit, is the thing that spoils here in this world and also in the heavenly planets. And the soul can only avoid this competitive spirit when he focuses on how can I serve Krishna best rather than what do I have to serve. So, but the sparda comes up. There is asuya, that if the competitive spirit is there because you are envying some other living entity, some other powerful person. So those who are at the heights of say corporate ladder, they face this, and in the heavens also they face this. There is envy, there is active competition. Is say you try to get better than others, but asuya is where you try to pull others down so that you can get better. We know the story of Indra, that he is trying to pull down the rishis who are doing tapasya because he is envious that they were take over his position. Then there is atyaya. Atyaya means there is death. That sometime or other, heavenly planets is like having vacation points or credit points. As long as your credit card has the amount, you can enjoy. But as soon as the limit goes, then you cannot enjoy. You are removed from there, or you go on a Disney land. For a 3-day vacation plan, there you get some good coupon and you go and you buy this, And for 3 days, three nights, you are having a gala time. But at the end of those 3 days, three nights, you have to go out of, you have to get out of the Disneyland, no matter how much you stay. So therefore, and the more you enjoy, the more you are happy, comfortable in a place, the more difficult it becomes to go get away, to not have that facility. You are living in a very nice, comfortable place, big place, and then suddenly you're told now you have to go to some small little house. It becomes very difficult. So atya, death is there, and then there is decay. So here in this world, no, the decay is a long, prolonged decay. That right from the now, from the age of 40, only the decay starts. That sensory capacity start to go down. But there, the decay is there. But maybe in a short span, but the decay is there. Vyaye. Or the decay in enjoyment because of different kinds of troubles that come up, which is bahu antaraya. That there are a lot of interruptions there. Someone or other, the asuras come up, or there is some service to Krishna that no, now everyone has to go to the earthly planet to help Krishna. So either some service comes up or some demon comes up who is troubling, and there is in. So they have to vacate their whole place and they have to go. And because of this five disadvantages of heavens, then heavenly world is also not something that is fully can make us happy. Therefore, in the eighth canto of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, he says that maapu upete punarjanma dukkha alayam ashashvatam, that if you approach me for heavenly pleasures, then there will be again a birth, and no matter where you take the birth, there will be it is temporary, and it is filled with some type of misery or other. Ah, Brahma punar loka punar avartino archana. Ma upeti dukamteya punar janmanavid. Sahasra yuga paryantam har yad brahmano vidu. You may enjoy for millions of lifetimes, but ratri yuga sahasrantam. But there will be a night, there will be an end to the enjoyment that we get. Therefore, better you try to approach parastasma to bhavanyo. Therefore, even beyond the heavens, there is avyakto vyakta sanatana. There is a place that is not manifesting or unmanifesting. It is an eternal place. Yesa sarveshu bhuteshu nashya suna vinashit. And in that place, there is no kind of destruction, because even in the heavenly planets, there is destruction. And therefore, Krishna says, therefore, purushasya parapartha, but even beyond this spiritual Brahman effulgence, there is a place where I personally reside. There is the personal feature of Lord. Purushasya parapartha bhaktya labhyastu ananya. And that place is only achievable through bhakti. Yasyanta sthani bhutani yena sarvam idam tatam. And therefore, all living entities, they find complete peace and pleasure when they paratasmatu bhavan, when they approach the Supreme Personality in that heaven, in that spiritual world. Therefore, Krishna in the next verse, in the ninth chapter, he explains how do we achieve that, what is the process of bhakti by which we can achieve that. Okay, I'll stop here and see if any devotees have any questions. Hare Krishna
Prabhuji, thank you so much Prabhuji, beautiful and very enlightening class today. If anybody have any questions or realization, please go ahead devotees.
I think Antaranga Seva Mataji has asked in chat, can someone read out that?
Yes Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, it is difficult to understand why the upper planets, though having better faculty, opulence, good quality of life, the earth is said to be placed for spiritual growth, especially Bharat. Why can't one make spiritual progress when is good conditions? Where is the problem? Can you please explain, Prabhuji?
Okay. Thank you, Matiji. Very important question. So, the ten, we all have come to this world to basically imitate God. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was mentioning in one particular article that there are two paths, purposes for which the jiva comes to this world, or two constant endeavors that are happening. One is the soul is trying for its own happiness. Another is that the soul is trying to serve Krishna. Yeah, I got that. Let me just read that out. The living entities are divided into two groups, those who are searching for their own happiness and those who are searching for Krishna's happiness. So, and we are having both aspects, and herein he writes that we are in some times of our life, some parts of our life, we are searching for our own happiness. How can I be happy? How can I, where can I get prasad, whatever. And the other times where we are thinking about Krishna or about others. So when we get pleasure, if you don't see it properly, that this is a pleasure that is given to me to become comfortable and to be grateful. So when we get, when we are in good times, we should become grateful. But instead of becoming grateful that all these pleasures I am getting only because of the sacrifice of others, Krishna's blessings. So when we don't see that, when we start to feel entitled that all these are something that I deserve. So then that entitlement, then that lack of gratitude is what causes the downfall. Then you don't respect or appreciate what Krishna has given. Therefore, no, there is that saying. Let me read that. Very beautiful scene. Yeah. When we are in tough times, those tough situations in our life create strong men, strong humans. Because of we have went through that, you know, tough times, we become very strong in our character, strong in our and those strong people, because they work hard, they create good times, pleasurable times, which are like easy times. Now, you know, life is easy. You are just, you know, working a little bit and things, you're earning nicely or the facilities are there. But those easy times create weak minds, because now everything is easy. There is no test to the mind or perseverance or resilience. So tough times create strong men. Strong men create easy times. Easy times create weak minds. Now you feel entitled. You cannot tolerate if some order delivery doesn't come on time. You become impatient. You become angry. That and weak minds create again tough times. So that's why we see often the parents who are struggling a lot, they create a nice future. For those kids who had, you know, tough times in their childhood, they somehow struggle to make good times for their children. But because the children are in good times, they don't really work hard, and then they create bad times or not so good times for themselves mentally and also career-wise. They are lackadaisical. So this is a cycle that goes on in the world. But if somebody is careful, I know many that know, ensure that we don't forget where we come from or not take everything for granted. Then whether it be heavens or whether it be here, we'll always be grateful. Otherwise, even if you go to Vrindavan, you'll take it for granted after some time. Oh, I'm in Vrindavan. And you'll not take the facility. You'll not utilize the facility. You'll just start to search for where can I get good food there. So therefore, we always should be very careful that we don't take the facilities that come, the appreciations or the benefits that come from whether our karma or spiritual practices as something granted. We are always looking for Krishna. Okay.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Anybody have any questions?
That devotees have?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanavat Pranam Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhu, for nice, very nice points. Prabhu, one question, Prabhu. This one, Mother Ganges came down during the pastime of Vamanadev. Right, Prabhu, that happened in the seventh Manvantara. So before that, can we assume that the Ganges was not flowing into this universe, Prabhu?
Yes, we can assume that Ganges was not flowing, or the river, there might be a river that is flowing, but it might not be Ganges because it was not connected to the lotus feet of the Lord. But the story that goes is only when Vamanadeva appears the universal covering, that's when Viraja Nadi washed the feet of the Lord and then the water came. And even there is a scientific research that once was published that water was not produced on this planet. It came from some other planet. From some other planet, the water somehow came here. And those who are seers, they can still see the stream of Ganga that is flowing from the heavenly planets to here. And they can travel through that stream of Ganga to anywhere in the entire creation. The rishis that just get into just like their speed line, their transportation. And Prabhupada often says that people, like these Nagababas or the rishis, they only appear during this Magamela, Sankranti time, or during the Kumbh Mela time, where they suddenly they take dip in Ganga in the Himalayas, and then they appear in Prayag, they take bath, and then they vanish again. So the Ganga is a mode of transportation. And as far as we know, Ganga only existed after the seventh month. But I can ask some experts about this and get back. But yes, this is what is understood.
Then once it came to heavenly planets, right, Prabhu, over a period of time, it came to the earthly planet, right, Prabhu, because of Bhagirath.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, thank you very much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Braj Mohan, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for a wonderful class. I just have one question. I was thinking, as you were speaking of competition and envy, in the United States, that's a big part of our culture, competition. It's the way that we're raised and taught that we're supposed to compete with others and be better than everyone around us, that kind of thing. And so often when I'm preaching to Westerners, they sometimes don't even realize that they're competitive. And I was wondering, what is, when you are a competitive person and you've been raised in this culture, how to overcome that?
The competition it's there because we want to prove that no, we are better than others, and the attempt to be God is manifested through this competitive spirit. And there is also another aspect that we feel that our survival is at stake if we don't compete. Then we will be no one. My existence will be doubted. And therefore, you know, when it comes to competition, that energy cannot be totally removed, that aspect. What you can do is, instead of competing with others, we should compete with ourselves. That let me try to get better than what I am currently. It is said that one should be satisfied with three things and dissatisfied with three things, and try to improve, always improve. One should be satisfied with one's place of living, one's earning, and one's food. That whatever food you get on the plate, one should be satisfied with that, with one's living, that salary, and one where he is living. And we see often we are dissatisfied with these three things. So I want to make more money. I want to want to stay in a better, bigger house. And I want a better food, different types of food. And one should be dissatisfied or try wanting to improve always in three things. One is one's sadhana, that you don't become satisfied that okay, my sadhana is okay now. No, we always should try to improve, compete without that. Yesterday I was standing this much, last 5 years this much. Now let me improve that. And with one's seva, with one's charity, that okay, try to do more charity. Okay, not be satisfied. Okay, now I'm giving this much. I'm okay. And with one's, I think, tapasya, austerity, that you don't feel, okay, now I am doing this much. This much tapasya or austerity is sufficient. One always, basically, always trying to improve oneself. And with what is outside of you, try to, don't compete with that, but try to compete with yourself.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Wonderful answer. I appreciate it. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Beautiful answer. If nobody have any further questions, we can end the call here, Prabhuji, with your permission. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for enlightening class today. We are very grateful to you and we look forward to your association again and again in the future. Let's offer our obeisance to Prabhuji and all devotees. Panchakalpa Tarubesha Kruba Sindhu Eva Chapadpanam Pavanubhyo Vaishnavibhyo Gram Prashimad Bhagavatam Ki Chai Prabhupad Ki Chai Prajmohan Prabhuji Ki Chai
Hare Krishna Prabhuji Dandavat Pranam Hare Krishna
Dandavat Pranam Prabhuji Thank you so much
Thank you so much
Radhe Thank you so much Prabhuji Radhe Radhe
Radhe Radhe